are told that vaccines are safe and that it is a public good. You are responsible to get vaccinated and stop the spread of COVID. And the people who don't get vaccinated, they're labeled as conspiracy theorist nutjobs, anti-vaxxers, ignorant and uninformed. But are these vaccines actually safe? Forget about the fact if they're effective or not at protecting you against COVID. The most basic question is it safe? I'm Christy I, and you're watching The Cost of Everything, where today we're going to be examining whether or not the vaccine is truly as safe as authorities make it out to be. And what is the cost of vaccine injury? And how frequent are these vaccine injuries? Pfizer and Moderna have both applied for full FDA approval for their jabs, but they have not yet been approved, as they have not been fully tested for safety under a long enough time frame. These vaccines have been authorized only as an emergency basis, basically saying that it is mostly safe, even though it is new and quite experimental. Most vaccine injuries are covered under the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which was established to be a no-fault forced arbitration regime. Under the VICP, the government takes a small portion of the payment of each vaccine administered and places it into a fund for the Vaccine Injury Compensation Trust Fund, which is then utilized to address vaccine injury claims. People claiming vaccine injuries have a window of a time subsequent to vaccination in which those injuries must occur and all claims must be filed within a strict specified limitations period. In the past, VICP claimants were awarded past and future unreimbursable medical, custodial, and rehabilitation care and related expenses. In 2021, over 2,000 claims were filed. Only 719 were compensated and awarded $208 million. Now, that might sound like a lot, but per person, that amount is slightly over $270,000, which is not enough to deal with a lifetime of pain and suffering caused by vaccine injury. However, though COVID-19 vaccines are not covered by the VICP, COVID-19 vaccines have been declared emergency countermeasures, providing limited immunity to drug makers because they've been rushed into production and use. Instead, COVID-19 injuries are covered by the Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program. A claim under the CICP is filed directly with the Secretary of Health and Human Services, and there is no allowance for attorney's fees, which means that people will most likely be filing the claims without the help of a lawyer. And once a claim is filed, potential compensation is limited to out-of-pocket, unreimbursed medical expenses and lost employment income of up to $50,000 a year. Until March of 2020, the CICP attracted little attention, deciding fewer than 500 cases. However, it is now drowning in a 16-fold spike in claims with more than 6,000 vaccine injury cases pending. This number undercounts people who believe that they've been injured, as many are not even aware of the CICP or the deadline for filing any injury claims. And for more, let's bring in Sean Barkovich, nurse practitioner and vaccine injury victim. So, Sean, have you noticed a rise in vaccine injuries in the past year and a half?
It's very difficult to say, to answer that question, because we don't have access to transparent data on injuries from the COVID-19 vaccines. And I think that is one of the problems that we faced in investigating our situation. That means me, myself, as a person who's injured by the COVID-19 vaccine, as well as others that I've connected with. I think the main problem in the United States is that pharmacovigilance, which means the government's monitoring of the safety of products, is not very transparent and it's not very robust. And there's a lot of broken problems with the system in terms of gathering data. But what I can say personally is that after I was injured and I started to seek out others for not only one to find out if I was alone, but also to look for support. In the early days when I was vaccinated, I found hundreds online, and then hundreds turned to thousands. And one group I set up on Facebook, social media, was related to the tinnitus, which is ear ringing that I had developed after the vaccine, one of my symptoms. In that group currently, there's almost 4,000 people who have been affected in terms of the same tinnitus. So I was shocked by that as a nurse and a nurse practitioner that there were so many. And then through that group, I connected with others and other groups online who had other types of injuries. And, you know, I've been a nurse for almost seven, eight years. And up until being injured, I never knew anyone who was injured by a vaccine before. And now suddenly I'm in contact with thousands of people that have been injured. So I would say, while we don't have the hard data to show that, I would say, yes, there's definitely more than one would expect.
And now, what kind of diagnosis can you give people who are vaccine injured? Do most of these injuries even resolve themselves?
So I'm not an expert in vaccine injuries, but I am, since I have been working in the medical field for some time. What I can say is that in the people that we've connected with online, we have seen a broad range of diagnoses arise. So in my case, my personal case, I developed several symptoms, things from ranging from tinnitus to extreme blood pressure fluctuations, tachycardia, neuropathy, which is like burning and stinging sensations all over my body, autonomic dysfunction, which means my body suddenly had a difficult time regulating function. So every time I stood, my heart rate would sometimes zoom, and I would have difficulties regulating body temperature. So I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would feel like somebody stuck me in a freezer. I would be like shivering, and it would be in the middle of summer. So I had a lot of symptoms. Now, when you talk about diagnoses, I think there's what I can say is that some people have had clear diagnosable illnesses, things like myocarditis, pericarditis, tinnitus, small fiber neuropathy, different cardiac arrhythmias. And then there are some people who just have what I call vaccine injury syndrome, like me. I have a broad range of things that went wrong in my body. So in those cases, it's very difficult to treat, because you present to your doctor and you have like 10 different symptoms, and the medical profession doesn't do very well often with when you show up at your doctor's office and say, oh, I have all these different symptoms, and they can't correlate that to one single disease. So they want to easily diagnose you with things like anxiety or depression or something called functional neuro disorder. And that's unfortunate. So then a lot of people go undiagnosed or misdiagnosed, and they're left to continue to suffer without proper medical attention.
And how reliable is the reporting system for people who have a vaccine injury?
So the current system right now is called VAERS, and this is the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. And so in the United States, every doctor is supposed to just log into this system whatever they see. If a patient is presenting and saying, hey, I got ear ringing, you know, and it started within a few days of the vaccine, they're supposed to log in and register that as a possible adverse event. But I think what has happened, and in, even in my case, no doctor to date, and I'm almost 2 years into my suffering, has filed a vaccine adverse event report in the system. It was left to me to do it. And so I think, well, if my own doctors didn't do it, then what about everyone else? You know, are their doctors doing it? And from what we found in the groups and in the support groups online, we found that most of the doctors, they don't report it. So then that leaves us to question, how reliable is that data? So if most of these cases are not being reported, then how do, will we ever know what is the true safety of a certain product?
Have you seen people be financially compensated for these injuries?
In the United States, there's two mechanisms for compensation for vaccine injury. One is the traditional, what's called the VICP. It's the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. And that's where most of the vaccines are placed. So that program is really where your, you know, tried and tested vaccines have been put into that system, and you can have legal representation and you can apply for compensation. Now, what happened with the COVID vaccines, they were placed in a special program called the CICP, or the Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program. That program is housed within the Health and Human Services agency of the federal government. And to date, I can say with certainty that program is not working. One, it's not transparent. So we have no idea who's reviewing our records, how they're making a determination of whether what happened to us was caused by the vaccine or not. So there's absolutely no transparency. Two, the burden of evidence or proof is on me. So I am instructed by them to submit all my medical records, and then they make a determination of what has happened. There's no dialogue, so I don't know if they've received everything that they need, or if they've even received everything that I've requested the doctors to send. So you're kind of just dialoguing with a black hole. So I applied for compensation over a year ago, and to date, I have heard nothing from the program. I had contacted them, and they tell me they're still waiting for my records. And it's been four times now that I've requested all my records to be sent from my doctors. The next thing I can say is that there has been zero claims paid for the COVID-19 vaccines to date that we know of. So you can imagine there's millions of doses of this given. I think there's between 6,000 to 8,000 cases of people who've applied for compensation, but I know of no case that has been compensated for any injury. So unless, you know, these vaccines are super special, and then, you know, and they've had zero injuries, which is illogical and even anti-science, you know, then the program, I suspect, is just completely broken.
Thank you so much, Sean Barkovich. We'll have Sean again joining us after the break for a breakdown of how much it costs him to have been injured and if the percentage of vaccine injury victims is a global issue. Don't go away.
Western capitals and their pliant corporate media continue to maintain the West is not at war with Russia. However, the fact is NATO is a co-belligerent, supplying financial support, arms, and diplomatic cover for Kyiv. When the West claims otherwise, it means it's losing.
Lake Baikal, a magical place, fantastical ice, clean waters, a dramatic geography, and of course, a unique ecosystem which has developed over the past 25 to 35 million years. And of course, a place like this just beckons you to come and experience it all for yourself.
On Inland Visions, coming up on RT International.
We need to counter the Russian state control narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi, c'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
Welcome back. As vaccine injuries mount from the COVID jab, the recourse is lacking for those who have been harmed. Injuries include massive clots, myocarditis, neurological symptoms, migraine, cataracts, tinnitus, and in severe cases, even death. Unfortunately for these victims, it is very difficult to prove that the vaccine caused the injury, as vaccine makers say that because it is so new, there is virtually no definitive research on injury causation to cite. Families are forced to take up the burden of additional medical costs, time off work, pain and suffering, as well as legal bills averaging $20,000 if they want to pursue compensation. And while the two programs in the US, the VICP and the CICP, are designed to compensate consumers for their injuries, at the same time, it also shields vaccine manufacturers from liability for any serious injury that their products cause. So basically, it gives pharma companies free license to market vaccines that they will have absolutely no liability or consequence for adverse reactions. As of July 2022, not a single claim has been compensated by the CICP in the US. In contrast, in Japan, as of July, 3,680 have applied for compensation and 820 have been approved. Taiwan has also awarded 10 claimants, and Canada and the UK have also approved and awarded a handful of claims. Scandinavian countries have paid more attention to COVID-19 vaccine injuries than any other countries. Norway compensated its first three victims back in 2021. Denmark, too, has been quickly and quietly processing injury claims since 2021. Yet while other countries are compensating people who have been injured, America has yet to financially assist a single claimant, and instead denies that there is any link between the vaccine and the alleged damages. All of these claims have been denied because, quote, the standard of proof for causation was not met. So why is the government forcing people to take a vaccine if they are not taking responsibility for the adverse reactions? And for that, we are joined again by Sean Barkovich, nurse practitioner and vaccine injury victim. So Sean, what is the cost to the economy with the rise in people with vaccine injuries?
So I can say personally, the cost to me is it has robbed me of my life and my livelihood. My symptoms are often so debilitating. So the tinnitus is sometimes so crippling that I don't sleep for days on end because it's so loud inside my head. My legs get like jelly and weak that like if I want to walk 500 feet, it can be a struggle sometimes. So the impact on me financially has been great. I went from being a fully employed nurse, making decent money to now being on disability and having our household income reduced by more than 60%. I think if you magnify that by the 20 some thousand other people we know who are injured in the United States, the cost is phenomenal. So I know people that are no longer, I know lawyers and doctors that are no longer able to work. I think the cost is also in the insurance industry. I mean, I know in my own case, you know, in my desperate search for treatment and care, my insurance has probably had to pay out probably, I would say, close to $1 million now. And out, my out-of-pocket has been probably close to $20,000-$30,000. So I think the cost to this to society is great.
And Sean, how prevalent is this worldwide?
So we have part of our efforts is, you know, how I started to speak out is I'm a nurse, right, by background. So I felt that the tragedy that happened to me and then finding others couldn't go unnoticed. I felt an obligation to step up and speak out, right? Because one, I am a voice of science. I'm pro-vaccine. And so I felt best placed to try to bring this awareness. But through meeting all the other injured, we have uncovered a network of people all around the world. And we have built an alliance, in fact, with other injured in other countries. So for example, in Germany, they're still not fully transparent and open about what's going on, they're much more open than we are. So they have acknowledged in the European Union tinnitus as an adverse effect of the vaccines. They have also talked about neuropathy as an adverse effect. In Germany, they have also been, some scientists have been open and willing to research the vaccine injured, and they talk about it a little bit in their press. I, in fact, have even sent my own blood to Germany looking for answers for what happened to me early on because I couldn't get help in my own country. And I'm a nurse. I was thinking when I got vaccinated, I knew that I was taking an emergency use authorized product, right? And I knew that there was a potential for something to go wrong, but I didn't fully know that if you are harmed in this country, you're really on your own. And that was an eye-opening revelation for me.
And Sean, do you think the stigma of being a vaccine injury victim and the correlation with the anti-vaxxers, and I know you're not an anti-vaxxer yourself, but the second you say that a vaccine harmed you, will people put you in that category? And not only in the US, but is there sensitivity over the matter overseas?
I think it's been something that has been fueled probably by, I don't know how to put it properly, but I think in the United States, vaccines have reached a status where they are almost untouchable. Right. And I think that that is bad for medicine. And I think that's bad for science. Every drug and every medical intervention should be open to scrutiny, because how will we ever have safer, better medicine? Our public deserves that. Right. You cannot just hide things and bury the injured. But that is what people are doing. And I think, you know, yes, I understand the fear of creating vaccine hesitancy. You know, that's very real. And I do think there are, you know, and there are some anti-vaxxers who definitely want to erode the policies of vaccination, which I think is bad. But I think there has to be some sane middle ground where people who are harmed by these products get the care and research they need.
Sean Barkovich, we are so sad to hear your story, but thank you so much for your time and insight. The pharmaceutical industry is the big winner here, with obviously Pfizer, who invested heavily into developing the leading COVID vaccine, reporting vaccine sales of $37 billion in 2021. And while programs in countries around the world have begun quietly compensating people who have been injured or died as a result of the COVID-19 vaccines, the problem is that the pharmaceutical industry is still not held accountable. Scientists and drug executives at each of the participating companies know these vaccines could cause severe adverse reactions, and that some people will become permanently disabled or even die as a result of vaccination, as they have not been thoroughly tested yet. But instead of prioritizing people's health over profit, these vaccines were rolled out, mandated, and enforced to maximize the bottom line, even though they were not ready. As of October 2022, over 92,000 serious adverse events from COVID-19 vaccines have been reported to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, including 14,957 deaths. But unfortunately, in the U.S., apparently we may have to wait a long time for science that establishes causation with respect to vaccine injuries. I'm Christy I. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you right back here next time on The Cost of Everything.